evening, everyone. Welcome back to Anchor Baptist Church. It is time to go ahead and get started. If you grab your hymnal and turn to hymn number 189, I Never Will Cease to Love Him. 189, I Never Will Cease to Love Him. $189 there on the first. For all the Lord has done for me, I never will cease to love Him. And for His grace so rich and free, I never will cease to love Him. I never will cease to love Him, my Savior, my Savior. I never will cease to love Him. He's done so much for me. He gives me strength for every day. I never will cease to love Him. He leads and guides me all the way. I never will cease to love Him. I never will cease to love Him, my Savior, my Savior. I never will cease to love Him. He's done so much for me. Oh, all the world is love neglect. I never will cease to love Him. I could not such a friend reject. I never will cease to love Him. I never will cease to love Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, for the salvations that were had this afternoon. Lord, I pray that You would just really fill them with Your Spirit, to set them on fire, to start serving You, to get in a good church, and to be a good workman, and just give us more laborers, including those that we get saved or open the door for the future. Also pray for this service, that everything would be done decently and in order, that You would soften our hearts and open our ears to the message. And just as always, Lord, incline Your ear to us as we sing praises out unto You. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For our next hymn, number 449, Dwelling in Beulah Land. 449. For 49, we'll sing there starting on the first.
Sing it out. Far away the noise of strife, come on, my ear is falling. Then I know the sin from earth be set on every hand. Proud and fear and things of earth in vain. None of these shall move me from You.
time, we'll go through our announcements. If you don't have a bulletin, please raise your hand, and an usher will come and bring you one. We have on the front our Bible memory verse of the week, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. On the inside, we have our service times listed there, 10:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. for Sundays, and 7 o'clock p.m. for our Wednesday Bible study through Ecclesiastes. We'll have Ecclesiastes 2 this week, and then we'll take another break the Wednesday after for the Lord's Supper. Soul winning times we have there listed below. Make sure to text in the signal group if you had any salvations today. And then we have our year-to-date soul winning statistics there below, breaking just 300 there for the month. So great job on that. We also have our online visitor card, which is used both here for visitors and out soul winning. Signs people up for our email list and YouTube channel. Then we have our online giving information there if that's something you're interested in. We have our prayer list with some updates for this week. Brother Hall praying for his health, his upcoming appointments, praying for Miss Jennifer's mother, her pain management, and just that she would have a good recovery from her surgery. And then, like I said, praying every day, please, for listeners' pick soul winning marathon. Which, speaking of, on the back, we got our upcoming events. That marathon's going to be on the 28th, so next weekend, right? Coming up next weekend. So be in prayer for that. I think that they're projected to get a ton of snow this upcoming week, so be praying that weather would be good, just that the Lord's will would be done for this marathon. April 1st, like I said, Lord's Supper on that Wednesday evening. April 4th is the Oklahoma City Soul Winning Marathon for the Mega Marathon. We did put that event on godresource.com, and you could scan that QR code to sign up for that, letting us know how many people will be coming for that. Then May 2nd, another soul winning marathon at OSU in Stillwater, doing a college campus soul winning marathon. May 9th, Mother's Day Tea. May 20th through the 24th is the Anti-Israel Conference. And then June 17th through the 20th is the European Soul Winning Conference. So just tons and tons of soul winning events coming up. Make sure to participate, and we're looking forward to those events. That's going to be it for our announcements this evening. Let's go ahead and go to our third song.
For our third song this evening, turn, if you would, to number 452. 452, 452, All I Need. We'll sing there starting on the first.
Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness this very hour. My redemption for
this time, as the offering plates are being passed, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23.
Deuteronomy chapter 23. He that is wounded in the stones, or hath his privy member cut off, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when ye came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam the son of Beor of Pethor of Mesopotamia to curse thee. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken to Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee. Thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity all thy days forever. Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou wast a stranger in his land. The children that are begotten of them shall enter into the congregation of the Lord in their third generation. When the host goeth forth against thine enemies, then keep thee from every wicked thing. If there be among you any man that is not clean by reason of uncleanness that chanceth him by night, then shall he go abroad out of the camp. He shall not come within the camp. But it shall be when evening cometh on, he shall wash himself with water. And when the sun is down, he shall come into the camp again. Thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whither thou shalt go forth abroad. And thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon. And it shall be, when thou wilt ease thyself abroad, thou shalt dig therewith, and shalt turn back, and cover that which cometh from thee. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp, to deliver thee, and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee. Thou shalt not deliver unto his master the servant which is escaped from his master unto thee. He shall dwell with thee, even among you, in that place which he shall choose in one of thy gates, where it liketh him best. Thou shalt not oppress him. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore, or the price of a dog, into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow. For even both these are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother, usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee, in all that thou settest thine hand to, in the land whither thou goest to possess it. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. When thou comest into thy neighbor's vineyard, then thou mayest eat grapes thy fill at thine own pleasure, but thou shalt not put any in thy vessel. When thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, then thou mayest pluck the ears with thine hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today and for the salvation and for this church service. I pray that you would fill Pastor Oz with your spirit and help us to apply the word from this message to our lives. Amen.
Amen. Deuteronomy 23. Let's start reading in verse 17. The Bible says, "There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore, or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both these are abomination unto the Lord thy God." The title of my sermon this evening is this: No Dogs Allowed. No Dogs Allowed. The Bible explicitly says that sodomites are not allowed in the house of God. He equates these things of being a dog and a sodomite. And it just says so clearly in verse 18, thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow. Why? For even both of these are abomination unto the Lord thy God. You know, sodomites, fags, the LGBT, homos, whatever you want to call them, it's an abomination in the sight of God. And the Bible says to not bring these into the house of God. Now, here's what our church website says under our doctrinal statement. One portion of the doctrinal statement says this: no one involved in unnatural sin, in parentheses, homosexuality, pedophilia, bestiality, etc., will be allowed to attend services at Anchor Baptist Church. So our church, we specifically say, hey, you know what? No dogs allowed. No homos are allowed at Anchor Baptist Church. Now, this would be shocking to so many people today because, unbelievably so, many churches, if not most churches that are independent fundamental Baptist churches, have the exact opposite policy where they say that all are welcome. They say that sodomites are welcome into the house of God. They say that pedophiles are welcome into the house of God. And while I'm not surprised when a church says that, just because it's so common nowadays, let me tell you, that doesn't make it right. It's wrong, it's wicked, it's evil. And even though the majority of the old IFB, as we call them, welcome all sodomites in the house of God, let me tell you what, the majority is wrong. And we do not allow them into the house of God. Go to Romans chapter number 1. Now, what I think they're doing is they're taking this mentality and philosophy, which is good in and of itself, but they're taking it to an unbiblical extreme. What's the philosophy? That is, of course, that we want people from different walks of life and people that are at different spiritual levels to come to the house of God. The house of God is not a us for no more. The house of God is not, well, if you have all your ducks in a row, then you can come to church. That's not how we are. Sometimes people try to straw man us like that. Look, we want all sorts of different types of people in the house of God to come, to hear the preaching, to grow in the Lord. But you know what? That does not mean that we just accept literally every person. That is not biblical. And tonight, I want to give you several reasons why sodomites are never going to be allowed at Anchor Baptist Church. Number one, the Bible teaches that sodomites are violent predators. The Bible teaches that all sodomites are violent predators. And so how foolish and unloving would it be for me as a pastor to bring people into the house of God that I know are violent and are capable of doing anything? You know, that is irresponsible. It is irresponsible for a shepherd whose job is supposed to be to protect the flock of God to bring wolves into the congregation knowingly. It's one thing if it happened without your knowledge, but just knowingly bringing in wolves is so wicked, it's not even funny. Look at what Romans 1 verse 26 says. For this cause, and if you read the whole chapter, it's them rejecting God, rejecting the gospel. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. So notice, first it's talking about what we would use in our modern vernacular, what we would call lesbians, right? And it's a woman that changes that which is, notice what it says, against nature, right? So it's unnatural to be attracted to the same sex. And the Bible says it's a vile affection, meaning it's disgusting, it's gross. It's not an alternative lifestyle, as the world calls it. The Bible says it's vile, it's disgusting. Verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. Notice that these violent predator sodomites are not born that way. The Bible says that they left, right? The women left the natural use of the woman. The men, they says, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn their lust one toward another. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do things which are not convenient. Verse 29, notice this, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. You know, people will bring up, oh, you know, sodomites, hey, we're all sinners. And I've even heard pastors that, you know, they have a little bit more guts than the modern new evangelical type pastors. Well, they'll get up, and I've heard pastors get up and scream, hey, being a homo is an abomination, it's wicked, it's evil. But then sometimes they'll follow it up with, you know, our sin is just as abominable. I heard that recently where it was like, hey, you know what, the sin of fornication is just as abominable in the eyes of God as being a sodomite. Let me tell you, that is not true. Because you know what? There are temptations that are common to man. The Bible says there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You know, it is a natural temptation for a man to be attracted to a woman, for a woman to be attracted to a man. And while the Bible gives us a righteous way of satisfying that through marriage, we can understand, though, that it's a natural temptation that people commit fornication. It's wicked. It's wrong. You know, you're going to produce bastard children. God will judge you. Hey, flee fornication. I think we covered that this morning. But acting like, you know, two young people committing fornication is the same thing as men lying with men, it's like that is asinine, folks. That is absolutely crazy because here's the thing. Yes, we're all sinners, but hear me, we are not all being filled with all unrighteousness. That's the difference between the sodomite and between us, is that they are capable of unnatural sin. We are not. They are tempted with unnatural sin. We are not. Why? Because they have been given over to a reprobate mind. They have rejected God, and in turn, God has rejected them and punished them by giving them over to do things that are not convenient, giving them over to do things that are not natural. And notice their state. They're being filled with all unrighteousness. So every single day that they live, they are more wicked that day than they were the day before. That's the truth. They're being filled with all unrighteousness. So any wickedness that exists in this world, any possible evil thing that you could possibly think of, and more so, because the Bible says they are inventors of evil things, that's what sodomites are actually like. Amen. Now, that's not how the world describes them. That's not how the public education system is going to tell you they are. But the Bible tells you that they are evil, that they are being filled with all unrighteousness, and that they are violent. Because notice one of the things it said there. It says maliciousness. What is maliciousness? It's desiring to do someone evil for no reason. It's someone that gets pleasure out of harming others who have done nothing to them. And that's what sodomites are. They are predators. They receive pleasure off of hurting other individuals, which is why they're constantly what? Preying on children, kidnapping, drugging people's drinks, doing all these horrible things to them because they're just malicious. They're full of all wickedness. Notice, full of envy. Then it says straight up, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. Look, these are dangerous individuals. And you know what? Don't let their facade fool you because obviously their outward appearance is not intimidating and threatening, right? They've got the limp wrist. They've got the lisp. They've got the colored nails. But here's the thing. That does not stop them from being dangerous individuals. Because haven't you seen every school shooting basically that's ever happened in existence? Hasn't it been done by some tranny faggot? Pretty much. Not saying 100%, but you know, it's just the 99 out of 100, I guess. I mean, it's ridiculous. They really are. Now, here's the thing. Let me give an example of some of the mass shootings that have been committed by sodomites just last month. I'm not going back into ancient history here. I'm not going to pull back examples from last year, though I could, and the year before that, though I could, and the year before that, though I could. Let's just talk about last month, all right? Here's one. On February 10th, 2026, a mass shooting occurred in Tumbler Ridge, British Columbia, Canada. So it looks like Canada's gun laws aren't helping them out very much up there. So there's this transgender faggot named Jesse Van Rootseller. And it says in this article, Jesse Van Rootseller killed her. Now, it's really his because this was born a biological male but dressed up like a girl. And the media here is calling it a girl, but it's really his. So let's just call it his or its, whatever. Jesse Van Rootseller killed its mother and half-brother at their home before going to Tumbler Ridge Secondary School, where it killed 6 people and injured 27 others before killing itself. And praise God that it killed itself and is now burning in hell. Van Rootseller was a former student of the school. Think about this. What kind of person goes to their home, murders their mother and their half-brother, then goes to a school where there's a bunch of children and just kills 6 people, shoots 27 others, and then just kills themselves, a tranny faggot. That's who. Yep. Why? Are you surprised, idiot? The Bible says that they're being filled with all unrighteousness, that they are malicious, that they are full of murder. And let me tell you, February 10th, 2026 is not the first day this person was a wicked person. You got to realize every sodomite is this way. Every sodomite is being filled with all unrighteousness. Every sodomite is a danger to society. And given enough time and given the opportunity, they would murder. Yeah. They absolutely would murder. I mean, listen to our voicemails. Look at the comments on our stuff. Faggots want to murder Christians. Yep, they do. And they rejoice when Christians die. Yep. And they rejoice when someone who even resembles biblical Christianity dies. I mean, the way that the sodomites reacted to Charlie Kirk getting killed, you would have thought Charlie Kirk was like Pastor Anderson or something. Right. I mean, they think he's like anti-homo and this. It's like Charlie Kirk was like a nice guy. He was a very, very nice guy. He was not preaching hardcore Bible doctrine. But you know, the sodomites were jumping up and down for joy when Charlie Kirk was killed. Why? Because they're murderous. They're violent. They're evil. So why would I bring these people into the house of God? Why would I take the chance with your kids, with my kids, bringing in sodomites like that? The article says this incident was the deadliest mass shooting in Canada since the Nova Scotia attacks in 2020 and the deadliest school shooting in Canada since the École Polytechnique massacre in 1989. Here's another incident. Again, we're just talking about only last month. On February 16th, 2026, a mass shooting occurred at the Dennis M. Lynch Arena in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. During a high school hockey game, 56-year-old Roberta Durango, by the way, this is a biological male that transitioned, not even possible, but wearing women's clothes and calling itself Roberta, a 56-year-old tranny, Roberta Durango, opened fire on her family members and a family friend. So this tranny faggot, who's actually a man, went to this hockey game, shot its family members and a family friend. The incident resulted in the deaths of its ex-wife and their adult son and the suicide of Durango and left 3 others hospitalized in critical condition. One of the injured victims identified the ex-wife's father died at the hospital on February 25th. The shooting, which police described as an incident of domestic violence, it should be called terrorism, occurred in front of dozens of spectators and was partially captured on a live stream of the game. Who saw some footage of this shooting? It was going around social media a few weeks ago. Yeah, yeah. It's disgusting. Look, you don't want to be anywhere around these people because anytime you are around a sodomite, you could potentially be in danger. Because you think, oh, I'm just going to my son's hockey game. Little did you know, some 56-year-old disgusting tranny is going to show up and shoot its ex-wife and family members and just random people and then shoot itself. Why? Because they're violent, because they're being filled with all unrighteousness, because they are filled with murder, and they're malicious. Now, here's the background on this person. Roberta Durango, Dorgano, however you say its name, was born on July 15th, 1969, died February 16th, 2026, after committed suicide. A 56-year-old trans woman, really a sick, perverted man, was identified as a perpetrator by law enforcement officials. Dorgano joined the U.S. Marine Corps on April 26, 1988. So you don't want to just trust all the troops and back the blue no matter what. Hey, it doesn't matter if this person was a Marine. This is a sick individual. Joined the Marine Corps on April 26, 1988, but was discharged 3 months later on July 13, 1988, its service being, quote, incongruent with the Marine Corps' expectations and standards. Praise God for that. Yeah, and would to God it continues that way going forward. Not don't ask, don't tell. No, no, no. If you're a faggot, you need to be out of the military. You need to be out of any position. I mean, you need to be out of this world. Yeah. That's, like, obvious. But you definitely don't want to be in any position of trust. All right? In 1989, Dorgano was charged with simple assault and battery, but the case was dismissed. Dorgano later lived in Jacksonville, Florida, and worked as a truck driver. Dorgano owned a van which was registered with a shipping company in Bath, Maine, and it had told employees working there that it lived in its van. At the time of the shooting, Dorgano was employed at Bath Ironworks. One of the hockey players playing that afternoon was her, I hate that it says her, its son. Dorgano had six children with three different women. This is a thing claiming to be a woman, but has had kids with women. Make that make sense. Insane. Six children with three different women, and according to its daughter, had a history of mental health issues. Really? I didn't know that a man dressing up as a woman has mental health issues. Yeah. And it had been ostracized from the family due to a long history of violence and abuse. Yeah, they're violent. In February of 2020, it accused its mother of assaulting it and acting in a violent, threatening, or tumultuous manner. Its mother was charged with assault, battery, and disorderly conduct, though the case was later dismissed. That same year, during a time when it was living in a house that its father-in-law owned and had begun its gender transition, Dorgano reported to police that its father-in-law had told it, "There was no way a tranny is going to stay in my house." That's a good call. Why? Because it's dangerous. It's dangerous to hang out with trannies. It's dangerous to hang out with sodomites. Hey, it'd be dangerous to bring them into the house of God. So guess what? They're not welcome. Sodomites are not welcome in the house of God. And that he had threatened to hire an Asian gang to kill it if it did not drop the charges against its mother. Its father-in-law was charged with intimidation of witnesses and victims of crimes in addition to obstruction of the judicial system. But in 2023, those charges were dropped after Dorgano decided to no longer pursue the case. Court documents showed that an Asian relative who was going to be the middleman to hire the gang was actually a doctor practicing in the blah, blah, blah. Anything else interesting in here? Let's see. How about, it says a photo taken sometime before the shooting showed that Dorgano at some point appeared to have a Schutzstaffel insignia tattoo with a skull on its right arm, but whether or not she had the tattoo at the time of the shooting has not been confirmed by authorities. In addition to the tattoo, it posted pro-Nazi content on Twitter, including stated repeatedly that it was to the right of Adolf Hitler. Talk about ironic. And it took it as a compliment when someone said they were right of Hitler and replied white power to an image of someone giving a Nazi salute. Dorgano expressed in her post hatred for Democrats, support for President Donald Trump, and she rejected the idea that all transgender people were liberals. In 2018, Durango tweeted that she was a hyper-conservative, hyper-Christian, and hyper-gender dysphoric trans woman. Hey, you know what? They are liars is what they are. Give me a break. Oh, I'm pro-Christian. You can't be a faggot and be a Christian. How could you be a tranny and be a Christian? Didn't we read Deuteronomy 22:5? Hey, you're not supposed to wear that which pertains to the opposite gender. You're an abomination to God. A sodomite is an abomination to God. Hey, you hate God. You're being filled with all unrighteousness. You're being filled with murder. You're a malicious person. No sodomite is a Christian. They're just liars. And you know what? Maybe some sodomites just want to claim that they're a Christian so that they go, when they go and blow a bunch of people away and murder a bunch of people, people, instead of blaming the fact that they hated God and rejected Christianity, want to instead blame Christianity. Right. But you know what? Show me the mass shooter that's a Bible-believing Christian. Where's that? Where's the terrorist attacks being done by Bible-believing Christians? No, that's not the case, folks. That's not the case. It's being done by these freaks. Look what it says in verse 28 of Romans 1. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. Hey, doesn't that match what we see in reality? Just in the last month, don't we see that these sodomites are murderers, that these trannies are murderers? Hey, we should stay away from them. There's a website you can go to this very day called welcometostupidamerica.com/killDylanOz. That's a website you can go to today. And guess what? It wasn't created by an independent Baptist. It was created by a sodomite. There's a website you can go to today called welcometostupidamerica.com/killJonathanShelley. It's almost like the Bible's true, that they're being filled with all murder, that they're malicious, that they want to kill Christians. Here's a quote from this site. Kill Dylan Oz, kill Jonathan Shelley. It says this: rise up, LGBT community, rise up. destroy and kill these Baptists. They will come for you if you do not kill them all. Mark my words. We are reaching a tipping point in this country, for when democracy ends, then theocracy will reign, and they will hunt you down and put a bullet in your head that they preach. Mark my words. This is why I keep saying religion is a disease. Christianity is a scam. Find these people and kill them where they live and preach. That's a website you can visit right now, just openly calling for hunting down and murdering Baptists, openly calling for faggots to come hunt down me and Pastor Shelley. And guess what? Me and Pastor Shelley both literally had faggots coming to the place where we live and preach for years and years and years. These people do want to kill Christians, and a lot of pastors today are just deceived, or they're just wicked and want to bring these type of people into the house of God. Look, they're telling you what they are like. Believe them. Yeah. And more importantly, the Bible is telling you what they are like. Believe God. Yeah. God's giving us the warning. God's telling us that they're filled with murder. How stupid and foolish would we be to ignore God's warnings? I'm telling you, they're never going to be allowed in church. Go to Genesis 19. Number one, I'm saying, hey, these faggots are violent predators, so they're not allowed. While you're turning there, Habakkuk 2:15 says, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. The Bible says, woe unto someone, a man, that gives another man alcohol for the purpose of exploiting that person in a perverted sexual manner. That is disgusting, folks, but let me tell you what, that happens. Why? Because sodomites are violent predators. Why would we bring someone into the house of God that is willing to take advantage of people in this way? Look at Genesis 19, verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet. And ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. You know, you read those verses, and you understand why Lot pressed upon these men greatly, these angels greatly, hey, don't abide in the street. You can't abide in the street. You need to come abide with me. Because as soon as these Sodomites figure out that there's fresh meat in town, that there's fresh game in town, notice they all join together in their efforts. All the men, both what? Young and old, because sodomites are recruiters, because sodomites prey on young people, right? Both old and young, it says all the people from every quarter. That's a scary situation. Imagine your house is just surrounded by a mob of angry sodomites. And you know what? They expressed their heart's desire. They said, hey, bring those men out that we may know them, right? That we can violate them in this perverted, sick way. That's what the Bible actually teaches sodomites are like. Notice what it says in verse 6, and Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. By the way, that's a very big safety violation right there. That's a really, really bad idea. You know, ladies, when you're home alone, you don't want to open the door and go stand outside like that. That's a really, really bad idea. So Lot did this, and he says, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. This is one of the verses that makes me so mad in the Bible, especially as a father of daughters. Yeah. I cannot imagine this horde of angry sodomites, and who knows how many people it was. Was it 100? Was it 200, 500, 1,000? I don't know, but it was every man, young and old, from every quarter of the city. And could you imagine just handing over your two precious daughters to just this pack of violent, evil sodomites? I mean, man, your mind gets really warped when you spend time in Sodom, apparently. It's disgusting. But notice, he kind of plays soft with them. He says, brethren, do not so wickedly. He even tries to appease them by giving him his daughters. And it's like, look, obviously his daughters are better than this disgusting, strange flesh that these Sodomites want. But are they content with his daughters? Absolutely not. Look what happens. It says, and they said, stand back. And they said, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. So notice, Lot gives them his daughters. He offers them his daughters. And their reaction is like, oh, this guy, he wasn't even born here. He's a sojourner. He came into sojourn, and now he's going to judge us. Now we're going to attack you. Now we're going to take advantage of you. Now we're going to violate you. This is what the Sodomites are like. Meanwhile, they are the most disgusting, evil pieces of trash that exist on the earth. They're the most violent, wicked people, but they want to sit there and get mad at us for judging them. Yeah, we're going to judge. Yeah. We're going to say that you're disgusting. Right. We're going to say that you're vile, because that's what the Bible says. No, we're not going to act like you're normal, because you're not. Right. We're not going to let you in the house of God, because you are an evil, violent, wicked piece of trash. Amen. And you know what? Americans today need to wake up and realize they are not normal. They are not born that way. It is not an alternative lifestyle. Any sense of safety you have around them is only because they are being restrained by the laws of our society. Right. Only because they have fear, some of them, of getting shot in the head by police. Apparently others don't. You know, Renee Good, stupid faggot trying to run over a cop, ends up getting shot in the head and killed. But let me tell you, there's a lot of fags that are still afraid of the power and authority that exists. And you know what? That's very good, because if they were unrestrained, this is the picture of what society would look like. Yeah. If Sodomites are not restrained, then they are going to be surrounding the house, banging at the door, ready to molest your children, ready to take the sojourners, ready to hurt innocent people. Notice what it says, but the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house. So the angel saved him and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Notice they're implacable. They cannot be satiated. They cannot be pleased. Hey, if it's here's my daughters, that's still not enough for them. If they experience the wrath of God and they're smote with blindness, they're still going to weary themselves to find the door. Look, you just got to stay away from these people. You got to stay far, far away from them. There is no reasoning with them. There is no coming to terms with them. Hey, they just need to stay out of the house of God, period. Go to Genesis 9. Genesis 9. Look, I'm not cherry picking for you. Oh, I'm just showing you the bad examples of Sodomites in the Bible. There is no good example of Sodomites in the Bible. There is no story of Sodomites getting saved. There is no story of Sodomites loving individuals, doing that which is right. They are only portrayed as evil, violent predators because that's what they are. Yep. Genesis 9, verse 20, and Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah woke from his wine and knew, notice, what his younger son had done unto him. I believe that's a euphemism for something gross. Verse 25, and he said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. You know, if Ham had just seen a glimpse of his father unclothed on accident, I don't think that Noah's reaction would be like, curse him. Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants, shall he be unto his brethren. And the Bible says, or Noah said, of course, he knew what his younger son had done unto him. Okay? So what does a normal person do? You know, Shem and Japheth, they find out that their father is drunk. Now that's shameful. That's embarrassing to be there and to be drunk. But you know, a normal person would still have some dignity and would still want this person to have some dignity. They would have some pity on them and say, hey, this person's in a bad situation. You know, if one of you were in this situation, I wouldn't want to look at you or anything like this. It's like what a normal person does. They take the blanket, they walk back so they don't see him. They put the blanket on him. All right, he'll wake up out of his drunken stupor later. Like that's what a normal human being would do. But what does the Sodomite do? Oh, someone's vulnerable. someone's in a position where they can't defend themselves, well, that's a perfect opportunity for them to strike. This is why, hey, you know, being inebriated, being drunk, here's another reason why you never want to be drunk, is because then you're open to these types of predators, right? Why is it that they go after children so often? Is because they're easy targets that can't defend themselves, right? And what is a man that's drunk, that's blacked out drunk? He can't defend himself. What is a woman that's blacked out drunk? Someone that can't defend themselves, they go after the vulnerable. They go after the helpless. And so you know what? We're going to help the vulnerable. We're going to help the helpless by just not giving sodomites the opportunity to have a hunting ground here at church. Because you know how many times sexual abuse has happened in churches? You know how many times sodomites have risen up and abused children and even pastors that are wolves in sheep's clothing that have pretended to be righteous but were actually pedophiles, were caught doing this type of stuff to kids? Hey, we're not even going to have provision for it here. How? Number one, no sodomites allowed ever. If we know you're a sodomite, well, then we already know you're evil. We already know that you're being filled with all unrighteousness. We already know that you're full of murder. We already know that you would prey on children, so you are not allowed. And then on top of that, you know, we're not going to have people going into closed rooms together or stuff like that. I don't have an office, but if I did, I wouldn't be alone with someone in there. I wouldn't be alone with the opposite gender. I wouldn't be alone with kids or something like that. Number one, because I don't even want accusations against me. I don't even want the appearance of evil. None of that. Just stay far, far away from that kind of stuff. It brings the reproach on Christ. If you read on your own time, Judges 19, it's the same story. Sodomites going and abusing people, trying to sexually abuse people. Go to 1 Kings number 15. So I said, number one, hey, you know, no dogs allowed. Why? Because sodomites are violent predators. That's what the Bible describes them as. Number two, no dogs allowed. Why? Because God commends righteous kings for getting rid of the sodomites. The Bible just tells us that righteous kings, they got rid of the dogs. Look at 1 Kings 15:9. And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And Asa, notice the narrator of the Holy Bible, the Holy Spirit here, say, and Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father, and he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. The Bible says, hey, what Asa did here was good, was right, that he took away the Sodomites out of the land. How is it that you could read this as a pastor, as a church, and have a policy saying, let's bring the Sodomites into the house of God. Let's bring the Sodomites into church. You know, if you were consistent in your theology, you know what you would also have to say? Is that bringing idols into the house of God is fine. Asa did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Why? Because he removed the Sodomites and he removed the idols. Why is it that you wouldn't bring idols into the house of God, but you would bring sodomites into the house of God? You know, I bet you these fag-loving pastors today, these fag-loving Baptists, would be highly offended if you brought in a statue of Baphomet and put it on the stage. Don't you think they'd be offended? Don't you think they'd be offended if you brought in a statue of Mary and, you know, Catholics came into the house of God, they put down a statue of Mary, you know, at their altar and just started bowing down and worshiping it? You know, I think you might actually hear a hard sermon from an old IFB Baptist. If that happened, he'd be pissed. But guess what? How much more so sodomites, who are, yes, wicked like idols, but hey, they're going to also prey on people. They're also violent. If you wouldn't let idols into the house of God, you shouldn't let sodomites into the house of God, because the narrator of the Bible said that Asa did that which was right in the sight of the Lord by taking the sodomites out of the land. How did he take them out? I don't know. Was this like the original Zionism project, but for fags? It's like, hey, let's send them to Madagascar, to an island, or let's send them, you know, far away to a different country. I don't know, but Asa got them out of the land. And, you know, the Bible prescribes the death penalty for sodomites, but hey, if America just had a start saying, hey, we're just going to get rid of all the sodomites in the land, I'll vote for that any day. Yeah. 1 Kings 22. Let me show you this again. 1 Kings 22, verse 43. And he walked in all the ways of Asa his father. He turned not aside from it. Doing, notice, that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered and burnt incense yet in the high places. And Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat and his might that he showed and how he warred, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And the remnant of the Sodomites, which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land. So notice, Asa, he did that which was right of the Lord. He took the Sodomites out of the land. But Jehoshaphat said, hey, my dad didn't do a thorough enough job. You know, I'm going to hunt down, I'm going to find the remnants of the Sodomites. We're going to get them out of the land too. And the Bible says that Jehoshaphat did what? That which was right in the sight of the Lord. So hey, if the U.S. wanted to deport all homosexuals, I'd be for that. Yeah. Obviously, I'd rather than put them to death. That's what the Bible calls for in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. But yeah, they should be kicked out of our country. They should not have rights. They should not be able to adopt children, obviously, or get married. It's ridiculous. Go to Leviticus 18. So number one, the Bible says that Sodomites are violent predators. Number two, the Bible says that God commends righteous kings for kicking them out of the land. Number three, the Bible teaches that Sodomites bring God's wrath wherever they go. So why in the world would I bring Sodomites into the house of God when wherever they go in the Bible, it brings God's wrath upon people? I want God's house to be blessed. I want God's hand to be here. I want him to help us prosper. It's not going to happen if we bring Sodomites into the house of God. Leviticus 18, verse 21. Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Now this list we're about to read is going to be important. We're going to come back to why this is important. But notice, he says first, all right, stop sacrificing your children to false gods. Stop killing and murdering your children. I mean, that's pretty horrific, right? Verse 22, what's right after that? Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. I submit to you that these things are connected. Because what does the Bible say? That they're being filled with all unrighteousness. That they are full of maliciousness. That they are full of murder. So, of course, a sodomite would have no problem killing children, which is what happens with all these school shootings. What happened with those two shootings from last month? It was a bunch of sodomites that could not care less about children dying. Verse 23. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Things you see in the Bible that just make you wonder, why did God even have to say this? Like, wow, it's crazy that this exists in this world. Don't lie with a beast. Women, don't stand before a beast. It's like, what the hell is happening? It's like, this is a horrific thing to think about. But it's in God's word because there are people like this. It may not be a pleasant thought, but it's true. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these things the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. Notice, don't defile yourselves in these things. He says, all the nations that I've cast out were defiled in these things. When you allow these types of sins in your society, it defiles the land. The United States of America today is defiled by allowing sodomites to live in our society. Not only to live in our society, but we exalt it, we celebrate it, we tolerate it. We often have a Pride Month, giving it its own special month. There's many laws on the books giving them special protection. Look, that has defiled America. It has brought a reproach upon America, where people in other countries look at us and say, what a clown show, what a freak show America has become, where they're sitting there allowing this filth and abomination to go on in their land. You know, let me speak on behalf of the normal part of America, is that we don't all love this. We hate it here at Anglican Baptist Church. We think it's disgusting. Notice verse 25, and the land is defiled. Therefore, I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Notice, hey, sodomites exist in the land. God's going to visit the iniquity on that land. The land itself is going to be cursed. The land itself is going to vomit out its inhabitants. Why would we bring that in the house of God? If it defiles the land, if it defiles the nation, don't you think it'll defile the house of God? If God's willing to bring his wrath and judgment on a nation for allowing these sodomites to be there, don't you think he's going to judge the house of God for doing the same? So I wouldn't want to be anywhere near a church that has sodomites in attendance. And hey, look, that's a big deal. You cannot go to a church that allows sodomites in the house of God. And you know what? Pastors today that are allowing it need to repent, and they need to have a no dogs allowed policy. No dogs in the house of God. Verse 26, ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. Hey, any faggot illegal aliens? That doesn't fly for them either. Verse 27, for all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. So then it's like, oh, that's why you're giving us this list of horrific crimes, because all these abominations the men of the land actually did. And it's like, people want to criticize God and blaspheme God, like Nick Fuentes, when there's verses in the Bible of, hey, go into this land and just wipe them out completely. Man, woman, boy and girl, beast, just wipe this place out completely. And people will blaspheme God saying that's evil, that's wicked. Not when the land is full of this. When the land is full of women standing before a beast, men lying with a beast, men lying with men, this type, you're burning your children alive to Molech. Yeah, just wipe it off the face of the earth. Because God is going to bring his judgment on a nation like that. And he says, hey, don't do this crap. Don't tolerate this crap. Why? Verse 28, that the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. You know what? Any church that has a sodomite in it is defiled. Yeah. It is defiled. And you know what? I will not be a member of a church that has sodomites openly in their congregation, because I don't want God to judge me. I don't want God to spew me out also. I don't want to be in the church when God brings his wrath on it because of the sodomite that's in there. Verse 29, for whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. Go to 1 Kings 14. 1 Kings chapter number 14. God does not mince his words about how he feels about these disgusting reprobates. He says that they are an abomination. He says that the land is defiled. He says the land is vomiting out its inhabitants. Hey, get away from these people, because I'm going to judge. 1 Kings 14, 22. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. Verse 24, and there were also sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. So notice God is listing his grievances here with Judah. He's like, they built high places, images, groves on every high hill, under every green tree. He's mad about the idolatry. He's mad about the false religion. And then he's mad that sodomites just exist. He's like, and there were sodomites in the land. It's like, there's fags here. God's angry that the sodomites are even there. Don't you think he's going to be mad if they're in the house of God? If he's mad they're in the nation, how much more is he going to be mad when they're in the house of God? You know what? I believe that if churches knowingly, openly invite sodomites into the house of God, that God is angry at that church, that he's mad that there's sodomites in the land. Go to Romans chapter number 1. So I said, hey, sodomites, they're violent predators. We're not letting them in the house of God because they're violent predators. They are going to hurt people. I said, number 2, God commends the righteous kings for getting rid of the sodomites. Number 3, the Bible teaches that sodomites bring God's wrath wherever they go. Number 4, the Bible teaches that sodomites hate God. Oh, let's bring them into the house of God. Why would you bring someone in the house of God that the Bible says hates God? Right. I mean, isn't this the whole point of coming to church? Because you love God? Yeah. Why would we bring people here that hate God? Romans 1:27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, here it is, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. You say, well, I just think, well, I just fear. Isn't that what people say today about the Sodomites? Well, I just think this Sodomite actually loves God. Well, I just feel this Sodomite is different. Hey, they've repented. Hey, they said that they're a Christian. Oh, this Sodomite said that they love God. Oh, yeah, just like the tranny that shot those kids last week said that they were a super right-wing Christian. Guess what? What they really are, they are haters of God. Yeah. And again, you could be a fool that lives your life by the will I just think or the will I just feel, or you could be someone that approves of excellent things and say, you know what, I agree with the Bible. If God says that they hate God, that must be the truth then. If the Bible says they hate God, that must be the truth then. Why would I want to bring someone into the house of God who hates God? Isn't that insane, folks? Isn't that just, like, just come to reality for a minute. That's ridiculous. Go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Now, what is the reaction we should have towards people that hate God? Go to Psalm 139. Look, someone who hates God, someone who has an emotional, visceral loathing towards the Lord, that is not your average person. That is not your average sinner. Look, there could be, you know, a lot of sinners in this world whose hearts are thousands of miles away from God. They're very far away from the things of God, but they're not haters of God. You know what a hater of God is? Is that they knew the truth and they rejected the truth. They knew what was right, but they hate what's right. They know Jesus Christ, but they hate Jesus Christ. That's different from someone who's just not saved. Notice Psalm 139, verse 21, the Bible says, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. And people say, oh no, Jesus said to love your enemies. I'm not talking about my enemies right now. Hey, amen. We should love our enemies. We should pray for those that despise us. We should do good for them. We should bless them. But you know what? Haters of God is a different story. And so bringing up, oh, the Bible says don't judge. Oh, you know, the Bible says love your enemies. It's like these have nothing to do with one another. There's a difference between my personal enemies and the haters of God. There's a difference between my personal enemies, people who have done me wrong, people who don't like me, versus someone who viscerally loathes God. Big difference. So what is the proper reaction towards someone that hates God? You know what it is? It's hatred. Yeah. It's hatred. You know, we live in this weird world today where it's like, just forgive everything, love everyone. It's like, look, if someone came to my house and murdered my wife and children in cold blood, I wouldn't get up like Erica Kirk and be like, I forgive them. I forgive them. I would just be like, put that person to death. Yeah. And you know, it's like, if I just let that go, murdering my wife and kids, is like, did he even love his wife and kids? Right? Well, it's like, okay, if you actually love the Savior, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, if you love God, if you love the Holy Spirit, and there's these people that viscerally hate him, that despise him, that blaspheme him, that have websites saying, let's kill the servants of this high God. Let's go hunt them down in their homes and in their places of worship. If you love those people, how can you say you love God? How can you say you love the truth? How can you say you love the house of God when you let those type of people in? You don't. So I'm not going to bring in people that hate God. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We'll go back to Romans 1. Number 5, why we're not going to let dogs in the house of God. Number 5, the Bible teaches that sodomites are reprobate and cannot be saved. Why would I bring people in the house of God that have no hope? I mean, I understand if someone's living a really rough life, a really sinful life, and it's like, hey, let's get this person the gospel. Let's have hope for this person. Let's be long-suffering. Like, if there's a chance someone could be saved, we should be willing to do anything to get that person saved, right? But here's the thing. The Bible does not teach that all people can get saved at any point in time, period. Like, we can all agree that there are times for which it is too late to get saved. How about this? Death. I mean, if you die and you're unsaved, there's no more hope. There's no more chances. You will burn in hell for all of eternity, right? There's other things. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, hey, you have no forgiveness. Not in this life, not in the one to come. There's things like taking the mark of the beast, where the Bible says, hey, if you take the mark of the beast, you will be in the fire and brimstone. You will be going to hell. Well, here's the thing. There are some individuals who also can reach that point where they're beyond the hope of salvation, even while they're yet alive. They are called reprobates. Look at Romans 1, verse 20. The Bible says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Even creation declares some things to us about God. Number one, it tells us there is a God. And number two, it tells us that he is powerful. And we were out at the Brother Hall's house the other night, and it's just super dark out there, way out in the country. And you know, you could just see just the glory of God with his creation that he's given us. Amen. All the beautiful stars and planets and the comets and the Milky Way. I mean, you look up to the heavens and you just know there's a God, because how could all this have come into existence by itself? How is it that, you know, non-life could have brought forth life? You know what the Bible calls that person? A fool. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Look, creation itself reveals the truth of God. That's obvious. But notice there are people that don't like that. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Some people mistakenly repeat or say that every single reprobate has been given a clear presentation of the gospel and that they've clearly rejected the gospel. That is not necessarily the case. There are a lot of reprobates who have received clear presentations of the gospel and rejected it and hated it. But notice, these people, what did they see? They saw creation. And when they knew God, so notice, there's a level of knowing God that exists by just believing that God exists. That's just true. Like, you look up to the heaven, it's like, wow, there is a God. These people knew God in that sense. It's not saying they had a full understanding of the gospel. No, they looked up to heaven. They knew that God is real. But notice, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So they didn't glorify him. They weren't thankful. They became vain. They came up with all these foolish, silly ideas. Things like the Big Bang Theory. Talk about a stupid theory. I don't understand how these college professors are not embarrassed every time that they get up and say there was all the matter of the universe in an infinitesimally small, you know, ball of matter that was smaller than the period at the end of your page. Who heard this kind of stuff in school? They're like, look down at your page. You see that period? The Big Bang? It all used to be smaller than that. And then it just exploded into everything. And it's like, man, you know, I've seen some videos of the war in Ukraine and in Iran. And, you know, when explosions happen, I have not seen civilization being created from explosions. I've never seen a grenade get thrown and a car pops out. I've never yet seen a B-52 bomber drop bombs and all of a sudden planets and galaxies and humans are just popping out. Look at all this beautiful creation. You fool! What a vain fool to sit here and think that explosions brought us this life. No. God brought us this life. And it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So notice, they're bringing God down to some sort of image. Often, you know, false religions have idolatry where they worship an animal, a statue of an animal, a wood vessel of an animal. And it says, hey, wherefore, so because of this, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So notice, God did not force them to become wicked. God did not force them to do these things. But God did see, okay, these people are rejecting me. They're hating me. They're changing the truth of God into a lie. Well, then I'm going to give them over to all this uncleanness and wickedness that is already in their heart. So it's not like God makes them do these wicked things. He gives them over to it. He allows them to. And it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You know, I've noticed just an interesting phenomena that the LGBT, the sodomites of this world, have you noticed how much they exalt and worship and praise animals? And look, the Bible talks about how a righteous man regards the life of his beast. I think we should treat animals well. There's nothing wrong with having pets or liking the company of animals. But what I've noticed about sodomites is that they just love animals, and they exalt animals to the point of religion, basically. They, like, worship their pets, worship animals, and they don't worship God. They hate God. They reject God. They reject Christianity. But, oh, my poor little, my little babies, they call them. Oh, my little dog babies. I mean, there's a business in Portland. I thought, wow, this business is such a racket. It's hilarious. There is literally a funeral service business in Portland. At least there was when I lived there. Four dogs. Talk about, I mean, that had to have been run by Jews. Only a Jew can come up with an idea to fleece people that are that stupid. But, I mean, think about how stupid you have to be just, like, giving your money over so that someone can perform a funeral for your animal. Let me tell you what, that is worshiping animals right there. If you're going to have a religious funeral service for your animal, you are way over the line, folks. Way over the line. Notice what it says in verse number 26. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. So we're talking about sodomites here. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. That is a word that's not often used in our modern vernacular, but reprobate means rejected. In fact, one of the dictionary definitions is rejected and beyond the hope of salvation, because that's what a reprobate is. Let me read for you Jeremiah 6:30. The Bible says, "Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them." So what is a reprobate? A reprobate is someone that God has rejected. Okay? They had their chance. They saw creation. They saw truth. But instead of receiving truth and building on the asking God for more truth, they rejected truth, they hated truth, and God gave them over to do things that are inconvenient. God gave them over to do things that are filthy and disgusting and vile. God gave them over to a reprobate mind, the Bible says. Go to John chapter number 12. So what is someone that is reprobate? Well, it's, hey, God has given them over to do things that are not natural, okay? The reason that sodomites are reprobate, the reason that sodomites are going to hell is not because they committed this unpardonable sin called sodomy. And people will straw man our position and say, oh, you believe that Jesus didn't die for every sin. I believe Jesus died for every sin. And I believe that if a sodomite put their faith in Jesus Christ, that they would be saved. Here's the problem. It's impossible for them to do that because they've been given over to a reprobate mind. So they're sodomites because they're reprobates. They're not reprobates because they're sodomites. I hope you understand the distinction there. John 12, verse 35. It says, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Notice, Jesus is not painting this picture. You have unlimited time to get saved. Oh, you have all these chances. You have all these opportunities. He's like, hey, if you have light, you better believe in the light. You better walk while you have light, because guess what? Darkness can come upon someone even in this world while they are alive, where notice what happens, verse 37, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Why is someone unsaved? Because they don't believe. You want to know why sodomites are not saved? Not because they're committing the sin of sodomy. Not because they've committed any other type of sin. The reason why anyone is saved is because they don't believe in Jesus. And anyone who believes in Jesus will be saved. But here's the thing, verse 38, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe. Yep. Read that again. Therefore, they could not believe. It doesn't say, you know, they haven't believed yet. They don't want to believe. No, they could not believe. Why? Because that Isaiah said again, he, who's the he there? That's God. He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Someone can get to a point in their life where they will never be saved, not because of the sins that they've committed, but because they cannot believe. Look, a sodomite today cannot believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because you know what? They rejected God. They turned the truth of God into a lie. They were not thankful. They became vain in their imagination. And as a return, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. God darkened their heart. God blinded their eyes. And he allows them to live in their life of delusion as a punishment. And guess what? After this life, they're going to hell as a punishment. Hey, they receive in their body that recompense of their error, which was meat. You could look at that a couple different ways. Disease, filthy, disgusting lifestyle. Here's another recompense that God's given to the sodomite is the reprobate mind. That's a recompense that he's given unto them as a punishment. And look, imagine the hopelessness of being alive in this world and just knowing you can never believe, you can never get saved, there's nothing you could do. I mean, these people are miserable, folks, because they're cursed in this life. They live the most disgusting, raunchy, filthy, animalistic lives of any humans in this world. And then when they close their eyes and breathe their last, they'll go straight to hell. There's nothing that can change that. And guess whose fault that was? Their fault for rejecting God. Amen. It's not God's fault. But you know what? Well, I just think, hey, I approve of excellent things. Thank you, God, for giving them over to a reprobate mind. Yeah. I agree with you, God. Burn these people in hell, God, because you know what? That's God's judgment, and I stand with him.
Yep.
Romans 1. Number 6, last reason why we're not going to allow sodomites in the house of God. Number 6, the Bible teaches that sodomites should be given the death penalty. Hey, we wouldn't even have to have this conversation if we lived in a righteous government today. If we had a righteous country that executed God's laws, there would be no sodomites to allow in the house of God if we followed what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Look at Romans 1:29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Boy, other than that, they're great people. Other than that, they're just loving, quirky, silly little faggots. No, they're evil. Notice what it says. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death.
Amen.
Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Let me just, you know, pop the balloon here, is that this entire sermon is completely silly and should never ever have to be preached. It's a shame that this sermon even has to be preached, that we don't allow sodomites in the house of God because they should not be allowed on earth. They should not be allowed to live in our country because they are worthy of death.
Amen.
There's no rehabilitating them. There's no fixing them. There's no tolerating them. There's no placating them. They're implacable.
Yeah.
They're unmerciful. And knowing the judgment of God, that they which do such things are what? Worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Go to Leviticus chapter number 20. Look, what we just read was the New Testament. And it's so funny how these idiots that don't read their Bible, they don't know God, they don't know Jesus, they don't know doctrine, they don't approve of excellent things, want to tell us what the Bible says about sodomites. Hey, we're in the New Testament, and it says they're worthy of death. You know what? I believe that.
Amen.
I stand with that. And look, I'm not saying, hey, let's go out and harm them. Don't ever do that. Don't ever take the law into your own hands. Don't go and be a criminal. Don't, you know, go and have acts of violence on them. I'm openly condemning that. Because that is not what we're supposed to do. What is supposed to happen is that the government is supposed to say, okay, let's pass some laws. All right, what does the Bible say? Leviticus 20, look at verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And you know what? Congress should write that down in the laws of the United States. And it should get passed in the House of Representatives. It should get passed in the Senate. It should be brought to the president's desk. And you should say, what a beautiful bill. No one's going to wipe out the faggots more than the United States of America, folks.
Amen.
I'm going to push the button. We're going to get rid of them all. That's what should happen.
Yeah.
Now, that's never going to happen because Donald Trump is a fag-loving idiot.
Yeah.
But you know what? He should enact that law. I would support that law. America should pass that law. I'm not saying let's go harm them. I'm saying that we should have capital punishment laws. Guess what? We live in a society that has capital punishment laws.
Yeah.
Praise God. Let's keep it that way. There are some things that you should be put to death for in our society. Things like kidnapping, things like rape, things like first-degree murder. These are things that should carry the death penalty. And you know what? Sodomy should carry the death penalty. Why? Because if someone is committing these unnatural acts, it is evident that they are a reprobate. It is evidence that God has given them over to a reprobate mind. You know what that means? There's no hope for this person. So why would we allow them in our society? Why would we allow them to sit there and live 56 years in this country until one day they snap and go to a hockey game and start shooting everyone?
Yeah.
Why would we allow that? Why would we allow these faggots to live in this world until one day they snap and go to your kid's school and start shooting it up and killing people? Why would we allow these people to live in our society till one day they walk into a religious place of worship and start killing Christians? You know what? God is right about everything. God is wiser than us. And you know what? God is more loving than us, too. Oh, you're such an unloving message. No, no, no. The Bible says that love is the fulfilling of the law. You know what's unloving is letting sodomites who rape and molest children to live one more stupid day in this country. You know what's unloving is letting pedophiles in our Congress continue to live. You know what's unloving? Letting this Epstein list still be hidden, not punishing the people that are on it who have done horrific, unspeakable things, put them to death. Not saying I'm doing it. I'm not going to do it. But I am openly calling for the government to execute sodomites because that's what the Bible says. And you could get mad at that all you want, but I've just read to you the Bible. That, guess what? This is America, folks. You can't condemn me for reading the Bible. You can try to fire me. Hey, I'm preaching the Bible. We are not going to change on this issue ever. I don't care what happens to me. I don't care if they come to my house. I don't care about the persecution. You know what? I love God, and I love the children of this church too much to ever budge on this issue, and I will never, ever apologize for it. I will never budge. You know what? Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Oklahoman, anyone listening, we don't care. We will never change. And you know what? All the pastors in this community that are allowing sodomites into the house of God need to repent, or I say you're a coward, and you're a partaker of these sodomites' evil deeds. Let's pray, beloved. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the warnings found therein. God, I pray that people would just wake up on this issue, that we would not sit here and allow the most evil, despicable people to prey on our innocent children anymore, on innocent bystanders in our country. I pray that we would take a stand for righteousness, that our country would just wake up to this issue, and at least in the house of God, we could say no sodomites allowed. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For our last hymn this evening, turn, if you would, to number 262. Hymn number 262, The Light of the World is Jesus. We'll sing there right on the first.
The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday is glory shown in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, is shining for thee. Sweetly the light
is Jesus.
Darkness and city of gold, the light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, it's shining for me. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus.
Amen. With that, you are dismissed.